about 1.5 hours each, morning and afternoon. Today, at 2 years of age, we constantly have people amazed at how well Asher goes to sleep at night. He still sleeps 12 hours and naps 2 to 3 hours. From Stephanie's journal. Because of his healthy weight gain, Caleb's pediatrician chose medication over any invasive procedures. The meds worked wonderfully. His reflux improved beautifully, and most significant of all, his little body began to relax. After a week of this, Caleb went to bed and slept 12 hours through the night, and he has continued to do so ever since. From Whitney's journal. At his 3-month checkup, Micah was placed on Prevacid in the form of a dissolvable pill. This worked great. This is when we finally transitioned to his crib and sleeping through the night. Finally, at 15 months of age, Micah no longer needed the medication. At his 18-month checkup, he was in or above the 50% range for the first time ever. In hindsight, I was discouraged by how many people told me, all you really have is a laundry problem. Not true. The information I wished I had beforehand was the best way to continue working on a routine with a reflux infant without thinking he should be sleeping through the night at 8 weeks. I learned reflux babies are delayed in this category and that it is not a reflection on either the baby, the parent, or baby-wise. It is just a normal outcome for a reflux baby. From Sally's journal. We took a list of symptoms to our pediatrician, who immediately suspected reflux. She prescribes Zantac. We saw a significant difference in Ross in 2 days. As he began feeding better, his day and night sleep also improved. Ross continued nursing for 13 months. Once he started drinking from a cup, we stopped the medicine. The reflux was gone. Summary. Caring for a baby with colic or reflux is a major task that can be very stressful for the entire family. For that reason, parents should get medical help for their baby as quickly as possible. They will do better if they can humbly ask or receive help from family and friends who can provide meals and give them a needed break. Parents should not be afraid to let trustworthy people care for their baby so they can rest. Caring for this little life can and should be a team effort. For more information on nutrition, allergies, lactose intolerance, GERD, and other health-related matters, please visit us at babywise.life. Chapter 9. Topic Pool. When a couple learns they have conceived, not much initially changes in their daily routine. Their domestic and professional duties continue as before, with very little disruption. Mom will make some gradual adjustments as the baby grows within, but overall, life on the pre-birth side of things is much easier than after delivery. Then comes baby. While the probability is very high that mom will experience a normal pregnancy and birthing process, it is unlikely that once baby comes home, everything will go exactly as mom and dad envisioned. Like the New Year's resolutions people make in December, the reality of January has a way of throwing them off course. Newborns can do this to parents. Expectations versus reality will always be part of parenting. What expectant couple does not, at least for a moment, believe things will be different for them than for the struggling couple down the street? Most women possess a quiet confidence that their pregnancy will be different. Their ability to manage a newborn will be without challenge. Their home life will quickly return to normal, and their baby will respond with sweet smiles and contented coos to every motherly gesture of love and care. While we have no desire to dampen anyone's enthusiasm or hopeful expectations, we offer this caution to help you. The more you leave room in your thinking that babyhood comes with a few unplanned disruptions, the better you will be able to adjust when the unexpected invades your baby's day. Parents who assume they can plan and control every moment without some sort of intrusive disruption will feel disappointed. By accepting the reality that they cannot, in a godlike fashion, control all outcomes of their baby's life, they are accepting their humanity. In time, they will learn how to manage the unexpected. To help minimize the adjustments a new baby brings into your home, we now discuss an alphabetical listing of topics helpful to think through before your baby arrives. Some of the topics were mentioned in previous chapters, but warrant further discussion. Achievement levels. All human beings are uniquely different, yet we share developmental similarities that serve as a basis for achievement levels. A basic routine enhances learning because order and predictability are natural allies of the learning process. Keeping in mind the ripple effect principle, good routines encourage healthy sleep, and good sleepers experience optimal alertness during wake times. That facilitates how they interact with their environment. As a result, these children are self-assured and happy, less demanding and more sociable, secure and healthy. They have longer attention spans, possess self-control and focusing skills, and as a result, become faster learners. There is uniformity within infant development, which means infants differ only slightly in the age at which they achieve new levels. If your baby seems to be at a slower pace than your neighbor's baby, that is not an automatic cause for concern. One baby cuts a tooth at 4 months and another baby at 6 months. That is not a problem, just a difference, reflected in the range of norms you will see in baby books, including this one. If, however, your baby does not achieve a skill within the norm tables of expectations, that could signal a muscular or neurologic problem. For example, pediatricians are concerned when a full-term 2-month-old is not able to lift his head while lying on his tummy. They are also concerned if a full-term 3-month-old is crossing his legs when lifted under his arms, or if his neck lacks muscle control to support his head when picked up from a back-lying position. Understanding the various developmental markers of growth can help any parent make a general assessment of his baby's progress. If you sense your baby is lagging behind developmentally, consult your healthcare provider. The term developmental delay is applied to infants who are not growing according to established norms. Premature infants, who comprise about 12% of U.S. babies, have a different set of norms and will lag behind full-term infants in achievement levels up through the first 2 years. Happily, they usually catch up with full-term babies in every category of development by age 2. Baby equipment. With the exception of the car seat and the crib, other baby equipment is optional. It is easy to walk into a baby superstore and get caught up with the new, the pretty, and the fancy. Baby equipment and accessories are marketed to parents' likes and preferences. In truth, your baby doesn't care about fashion. It is simply not on their radar, so do not worry if new or pretty are not supported by your budget. Many items, including the high chair, stroller, changing table, and crib, can be borrowed from a relative or friend or found at a garage sale. For the latest product reviews, do-it-yourself ideas, and innovations, visit us at www.babywise.life/babygear. Baby monitor. Audio baby monitors first came on the scene in the 1960s. Today's generation of monitors now include video capability. Parents can hear and see what is going on in baby's room. The price tags range from $30 for a simple monitor without video to $400 if you are looking for high-definition color and night vision. Some kind of monitor is worth the investment because it allows you to monitor your baby from a distance. This provides mom and dad the extended freedom to move around the house while baby is in his crib, playpen, or eventually playing by himself in his room. A potential downside is that hearing every little sigh, noise, whimper, or stirring a baby makes is cute at first, but can become wearying. And in the still of the night, monitors magnify every sound, leaving parents in a state of exhaustion by morning. The last thing a baby needs in the morning is a cranky parent, so consider turning the sound control down at night. Be aware that baby monitors are not medical devices and are not intended or able to prevent SIDS. Car seat. The car seat is an item that will be around for a while, so think long-term when making this investment. Some car seats are very stylish and work fine with an infant, but may not be practical for a growing toddler. To avoid having to purchase a second car seat, do some comparison shopping. Driving with an infant in a car seat requires additional attention. Protect your baby's neck muscles by preventing his head from rolling side to side. Some parents accomplish that by rolling a cloth diaper or receiving blanket and using it to support each side of the baby's head, or you can purchase special inserts made for car seats. Be sure that whatever you use does not block your baby's breathing. Drive cautiously and defensively, being mindful that sudden stops impact babies most of all because they lack neck muscle strength. They will be safest in rear-facing car seats until they reach their first birthday and weigh at least 20 pounds. Crib. Cribs and cradles are not products of the Industrial Revolution, but pieces of furniture that have been around for thousands of years. Ancient Mediterranean societies from Greece, Rome, and Israel all used cribs for their babies. The cradle, an infant crib with rocking motion, gained popularity in the Middle Ages and became a status symbol of wealth. Mothers in primitive settings hung cribs from the ceiling of their huts where they could gently rock their babies as they passed by. The crib is the most basic piece of baby furniture you will own. Give thought to the one you will buy or borrow, since your child will spend nearly half of the first 18 months of his life in it. A mattress should fit snugly against all four sides, and it should be firm and of good quality. A snug fit prevents the baby from getting any body parts stuck between the mattress and the crib. The guardrail should be at least 26 inches above the top of the mattress to discourage any attempt to climb out when the baby is older. The spaces between the crib slats should be no more than 2 3/8 inches apart. The crib bumper guard is a good investment and safer for baby than using pillows or stuffed animals, which could cause suffocation. Avoid placing the crib near drafty windows, heaters, or air ducts. A steady blast of hot air can dry out your baby's nose and throat, leading to respiratory problems. The AAP does not recommend placing a baby to sleep on a soft surface, such as a waterbed, pillow, or soft mattress. Infant seat. This is not a car seat. An infant seat is a lightweight, portable seat made especially for infants. You can use it from day one and will find it more useful than any other piece of equipment in the early weeks and months. Infant seats will often come with chair straps for safety's sake, which makes it suitable for feeding your baby solids when the time comes. While the high chair will be used most of the time, the infant seat is handy, especially when out visiting friends or at a restaurant. Infant swings. Some infant swings play music while they rock, and others offer a variety of reclining options and multiple speeds. Babies going through fussy times tend to soothe more quickly in a swing set at a fast pace, whereas a slower speed is conducive for relaxed, non-fussy times. The reclining swing also works well after feeding to help relieve pressure in baby's full tummy. The AAP recommends not using the swing until your baby is capable of sitting up on his own, usually by 6 to 8 months of age. Most grandmothers, however, will tell you that once your baby has good head and upper back control, the swing can be introduced in the reclining position, as long as the baby is propped well and firmly secured so he cannot move or slip out of the swing. A swing should not be used for long periods of time, no more than 15 to 20 minutes twice a day, and never out of mom or dad's visual range. When using the swing for babies so that you can accomplish a task like preparing dinner, make a point of talking to your baby while he is swinging. Whether you purchase a new swing or borrow one from a friend, make sure it is assembled well and has a wide base and low center of gravity. While tipping over is rare, it can happen if the swing is not centered correctly and your baby leans too far over in one direction. Use the lap and shoulder belts faithfully. They are there to protect your baby. Playpen. Once parents have their infant's feeding and sleeping routines under control, it is time to work on wake time activities. Parents can begin using the playpen as a portable bed soon after their baby is born and for tummy time once the baby can hold his head up and is able to explore an item in his hands. Once your baby is able to sit up by himself, playpen time should become a routine part of his day. We explain in detail the developmental benefits of this in BabyWise 2. Bathing your baby. Babies should not receive their first full bath until the umbilical cord has fallen off, 10 to 14 days after birth, on average. Never immerse your baby in water while the cord is still attached. A sponge bath is all a newborn really needs. Never try to remove the umbilical cord by cutting or twisting it off. It will fall off by itself any time after the second week of age. Keep the cord area clean by using a cotton swab and some rubbing alcohol or by using alcohol wipes. This should be done after each diaper change. After the cord falls off and your baby is ready for a bath in the kitchen sink, easier on your back, or bathtub, be sure the water is warm to the touch but never hot. Go easy on the soap since it is drying to the skin, leaving it itching and flaky. Never leave a baby in water unattended, even after he is capable of sitting up by himself. The potential danger is too great a risk, even for a minute. Blanket time. It may be hard to imagine that learning could be taking place when a 5-month-old is stretched out on his blanket, playing with a colorful toy or teething ring, yet it is true. Blanket time facilitates early learning by allowing a baby to concentrate and serves as a useful mobile boundary. Start blanket time with your baby as soon as he is able to hold up his head and manipulate an object in his hands, as early as 4 months. Start with 5 to 10 minutes once a day and stretch the time to a level contentedly accepted by your baby. The beauty of a blanket is its mobility. You can place it just about anywhere in the house convenient for mom and dad. Grandparents will also find it helpful when the baby is over for a visit. Bonding with your baby. The term bonding evolved from a controversial theory in the 1980s relating to mothers and their babies into common usage today to describe two people emotionally connecting. The original theory postulated that a sensitive period exists for the mother soon after birth when she must make eye-to-eye and skin-to-skin contact with her baby for a long-term maternal connection to truly take place. Most couples assume this bonding is for the baby's benefit, but the theory focuses on the mom, suggesting that if she fails to make an immediate connection right after birth, she is more likely to reject her baby passively by withholding love and nurturing. Before worrying about the poor mom who does not have the chance to hold her baby immediately after delivery, be aware that research has not substantiated the cause and effect relationship this theory speaks of. Although some animals show instinctive tendencies of this sort, speculating that rational beings respond similarly is scientifically unacceptable. Anthropology, the study of humankind, is very different from zoology, the study of animals. The short-sightedness of the bonding theory, however, should not take away from the beautiful moment right after birth when mom, dad, and baby meet for the first time. There should be plenty of touch, tears, photos, and soft words of affection. If mom and baby are temporarily separated at birth, her love as a mother will not diminish, nor will her child move through life permanently impaired because of a bonding deficit created in the first few hours or even days after birth. Cesarean birth. This method of delivery, commonly referred to as a C-section, is accomplished through an incision in the abdominal wall and uterus. The decision to perform a C-section is made either prior to your due date because of a known condition or unexpected complication, or during labor because of an unexpected complication. In either case, competent doctors have your best interests in mind. Often, first-time moms go into labor before having a C-section, which means her body must endure two major events, and so must baby. Infants born by emergency C-sections tend to experience a bit more sluggishness or fussiness for the first few weeks. They may be cranky because of medications mom must take post-op, but typically everything settles down by the third week. C-section babies experience no delays in sleeping through the night in the PDF population. Because a cesarean birth is major surgery, give yourself time to heal when you get home with the baby. When he naps, make sure you nap too. Household chores can wait. More C-sections are performed today because medical science has developed greater technology for protecting babies, but also because there are more lawsuits against obstetricians and gynecologists, forcing them to exercise conservative, lower-risk treatment. Having a C-section is a medical decision that in no way reflects on a woman's motherhood. The main goal of a C-section is a healthy outcome. Cradle cap. As adults, we shed skin cells frequently without noticing. With babies, the new skin cells grow rapidly and often faster than the old cells can fall off, leaving the old cells stuck to the new ones. When this happens, it appears as a white, scaly, or patchy rash. It tends to happen most often on a baby's head, ears, and forehead and has acquired the name of cradle cap. It is not dangerous or contagious and bothers mom and dad more than baby. Your healthcare provider will probably recommend a cream along with the advice to monitor it, but not worry about it. Crib death, SIDS. The unexpected death of a healthy baby is referred to as sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, or crib death. It is responsible for about 7,000 reported deaths a year worldwide and is neither predictable nor preventable from what we currently know. There are more male victims, especially among those who are born prematurely, and it occurs more often among babies of certain ethnic groups, young single mothers, and homes with at least one smoker. A child can be a victim of SIDS any time during the first year, but the highest percentage occurs between months 2 to 4. More babies die of SIDS during the winter months and in colder climates. The research strongly suggests that putting a baby on his back for sleep rather than on his tummy reduces the risk of SIDS. What is not conclusive is whether sleeping on his back is the primary or secondary factor in the reduction of risk. Is the risk removed because the child is sleeping on his back, which keeps his mouth and nose from directly laying on soft surfaces and gas-trapping objects, mattresses, pillows, crib liners? Could those items be the actual sources of SIDS, or is the problem connected to the biomechanics of tummy sleeping? More research is needed to answer that question. Meanwhile, we suggest you speak to your healthcare provider if you have any questions about positioning your baby for sleep, and do not worry about back positioning interfering with the establishment of healthy sleep patterns. We have not found any indications that it does. Diapers, hygiene, and rashes. As new parents, you have a choice between disposable or cloth diapers. It really is a matter of personal preference. As a general rule, you will change your baby's diaper at each feeding. PDF babies average 6 to 8 diaper changes a day, coinciding with their feedings. An exception is after the middle of the night feeding, unless it is soaked or soiled or accompanied by a diaper rash, since your goal is to help your baby sleep through the night. When your baby finally begins to make the long 8 to 10 hour stretch through the night, use a diaper size larger than what you are using during the day, or use 2 cloth diapers. Since the skin of a newborn is so sensitive, avoid using commercial wipes. A better substitute is water and a clean cloth. As baby approaches his 3rd month, his sensitivity to commercial wipes decreases substantially. Wipes containing lanolin are best. When cleaning your baby, always work from front to back, never back to front, especially on girls, to prevent the spread of bacteria that can cause urinary tract infections. Pay attention to the creases in the thighs and buttocks. For boys, a good practice to develop is holding a clean diaper over his genitals, because exposure to air often causes boys to urinate with no regard to who is in the line of fire. Wherever there is a diaper, there is always the potential for a diaper rash. The rash may be caused by a yeast infection, food allergies, teething, or sitting too long in a messy diaper. If your baby has particularly sensitive skin, he may be more prone to diaper rash. The best way to prevent diaper rash is to keep your baby's skin as dry and clean as possible, which means changing diapers often to keep urine and excrement from irritating the skin. With proper attention and over-the-counter creams, most diaper rashes vanish in a few days. If your baby is on any medication, check the labels for side effects. If a rash persists, visit your healthcare provider for professional diagnosis and treatment. Listen for more about diaper rash care and treatment in Appendix 1. Fevers and sickness in newborns. When your newborn shows sign of sickness or has a fever above 100.4 degrees, contact your pediatrician immediately. The fever is a sign that your baby's immune system is fighting off an infection, but a baby's immune system is not fully engaged until 3 months, leaving newborns more vulnerable to infection. A fever in a young baby is of great concern to pediatricians. It can indicate a wide variety of infections, ear, bladder, kidney, or lung, perhaps, that only a professional can pinpoint. Sickness and fevers are a natural part of life, but fortunately, we live in a time when most common bacterial and viral infections are easily treated with medical intervention. Grandparents. There is a special relationship between the 3rd generation and the 1st. Within reason, you will want to take advantage of every opportunity for grandparents to enjoy your child. However, do not assume your parents want to babysit, and do not abuse their generous offers to do so. Above all else, do not surrender your parenting responsibilities to your parents. While they may enjoy their grandchildren very much and probably have a few good opinions about parenting, they are not the parents. You are. We suggest you provide grandparents with their own copy of Baby Wise so they know what you are doing and why. That way, your baby has a team on his side. Here, we wish to leave a message for Dad. Many grandparents travel a great distance when the big day arrives. Of course, there is excitement and great anticipation, but that visit can either be a blessing or a problem, depending on your relationship with them and how like-minded they are with you. You might request that they postpone their visit until a few days or a week after the baby comes. By then, you will have worked through your basic parenting routine and feel familiar with it. Having a high-powered, take-charge relative come in right after birth is very hard on a new mother's emotions. Dad can help by protecting his wife from that kind of stress and managing the situation for everyone's benefit. Immunizations. The ability to protect children from the tragedies of many infectious diseases such as polio, diphtheria, and measles is one of the great blessings of our day. To bring this blessing into your home, make sure your children receive all their recommended immunizations and that they receive them on time. Because immunization schedules change frequently as better vaccines become available, routinely ask your pediatrician for a current timetable of vaccinations for your child from now through college. The latest recommendations at this writing from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention for Infants include hepatitis B vaccine, rotavirus vaccine, diphtheria and tetanus toxoids and acellular pertussis vaccine, DPT, Haemophilus influenza type B, pneumococcal vaccine, inactivated poliovirus vaccine, influenza vaccine, seasonal, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, MMR, varicella, chickenpox vaccine, and hepatitis A vaccine. While the internet is a valuable resource for health information, many websites contain false and misleading information about the safety of vaccines. We are frequently asked about the controversy surrounding Dr. Bob's alternative vaccine schedule and what experts, with good reason, call a complete misrepresentation of vaccine science. Please see the public warnings and statements from the AAP, the ACP, American College of Pediatricians, and the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. Consult your baby's pediatrician if you have questions about vaccines and immunization in general, but please get your children vaccinated. Microwave and the bottle. For babies receiving formula, mom or dad will naturally want to take advantage of the microwave to heat a bottle of formula. Loosen the top of the bottle to allow the heat expansion so it does not literally explode. Be aware that microwaves heat food unevenly, creating hot spots, so be sure to shake the bottle well after heating and squirt a dab of milk on your wrist to test for warmth. Because excessive heat can destroy the nutrient quality of expressed breast milk, we recommend that you avoid using the microwave to thaw or heat it. Instead, place the bottle of expressed breast milk in a bowl or small pan of warm water. Whether your baby is getting breast milk or formula, most will take a bottle at one time or another. It is important to keep the bottles and nipples clean and sterilized. This is safest with a bottle sterilizer designed to work in your microwave. They are available at most major stores that sell baby items and come in various models and price ranges. A dishwasher can do the job with cages that hold the nipples and other small items, but only if you tend to wipe your dishes and utensils visibly clean before loading them. That is, you do not treat your dishwasher like a garbage disposal. It helps to shake down the bottles and other items that retain water when the rinse cycle stops, so they dry properly during your dishwasher's drying phase. Nursing twins. The BabyWise parent-directed feeding philosophy is a good friend to parents of multiples, especially in giving helpful advice about breastfeeding. Our experienced moms of twins find it best to assign a breast to each baby and to keep them nursing on that specified breast throughout all feedings. This will help your milk supply keep up with the unique demand of each twin. Let one twin set the pace and keep them both on that schedule. If that means you must wake one, do so. During the first few weeks postpartum, you can nurse your twins simultaneously using a football hold, arms bent to support the back and head of each baby while they nurse. As they grow, your babies will have to nurse one at a time. Beyond that distinction, you will be able to implement all other aspects of the PDF plan, including feeding routines and sleeping through the night. May you thoroughly enjoy your double portion. Our next chapter discusses multiple births. Pacifiers and thumb sucking. There are many good reasons for using a pacifier with your newborn. It can help satisfy a baby's non-nutritive sucking need, it is soothing, and can preempt periods of stress, and it is useful when mom needs a few more minutes before she can get to the baby for feeding. Furthermore, research suggests pacifiers may help reduce the risk of SIDS. There are, however, a few warnings. First, the pacifier should not be introduced too early if mom is breastfeeding. There is the possibility that baby might prefer the pacifier over mom because nursing requires more energy. Second, since the pacifier is a source of pleasure, it can become addictive. For example, a baby may depend on it to fall asleep or fall back to sleep if waking early from a nap. Early on, the pacifier can be a parent's friend, but stay mindful that it does not, in 6 to 8 months, become mom and dad's foe. Children, infant, pre-toddlers, and toddlers suck thumbs and fingers out of habit more than out of a deep-seated psychological need for comfort. Infants find thumb-sucking soothing during times of stress, fatigue, or calm. Unlike the pacifier, the thumb is physically attached to the child, and the child can become habitually attached to the thumb. The good news is that 50% of infants give up thumb-sucking on their own by 6 to 7 months of age. If either thumb-sucking or the pacifier becomes a problem after this period, you will find solutions spelled out in BabyWise 2. Premature birth. While most pregnancies extend to 40 weeks, a baby born as early as 37 weeks is still considered full term. Babies born prior to 37 completed weeks of pregnancy are considered premature. In the 1980s, the rate of premature births fell to 3 to 5%. Today, that rate is approaching 13%. There are two explanations for this sharp rise. The number of multiple births has increased from advancements made with in vitro fertilization, and the advances in obstetrics and neonatology have improved the chances of survival for even the smallest babies, even those born as early as 23 weeks after conception. Estimates are that babies born at 23 weeks have a 17% chance of survival. The statistics more than double for a baby born at 24 weeks to a 39% chance of survival. A baby born at 25 weeks has a 50% chance of survival. If that same baby can make 26 weeks, his chance of survival jumps to 80%. From 32 weeks onward, most babies are able to survive without medical intervention. While most premature babies are at risk for some health problems, the closer to full term the baby is born, the less risk there is for serious complications. Size is also an issue for the premature infant. A baby born at 32 weeks will be significantly smaller than a baby at 40 weeks. That causes feeding challenges because preemies are sluggish eaters and can only take in small amounts of food. Pediatricians who specialize in high-risk premature births usually recommend calorie and vitamin-enriched formulas or that fortifiers to be added to breast milk. Since premature births are not usually planned, being aware of the possibility and understanding the risks will help any parent cope with the unexpected. There are many reputable medical websites that provide up-to-date information and the opportunity to ask questions related to premature births. Postpartum depression, PPD. Until baby is sleeping at least 6 hours or more during the night, mom will be fighting fatigue, which is normal and expected. However, if you find that after your 6-week postpartum checkup, you are experiencing strong mood swings, have difficulty accomplishing minimal household tasks, or are constantly on the verge of tears during the day, please talk to your obstetrician. This state of mind and level of emotions at this point is not normal and is a sign of postpartum depression, PPD. The phone call to your doctor is free, but the cost to yourself and the rest of your family is more than you will probably want to pay emotionally if you don't get help. There are 3 levels of postpartum hormonal imbalance. The first and least serious level, the baby blues, is something most women experience right after birth. It usually peaks around the 4th or 5th day postpartum and typically disappears within 10 days to 2 weeks. Most moms experiencing the baby blues tend to cry over the smallest incidents, feel overwhelmed, lose their concentration easily, and have some difficulty sleeping. Unlike postpartum depression, the baby blues is not an isolated condition. It can share the stage with mom's feelings of joy, excitement, and happiness. The second level of hormonal imbalance is postpartum depression, PPD, which can set in a few days or even weeks after birth and considered by healthcare authorities to be a more serious condition than a simple case of baby blues. Mothers experiencing PPD have feelings of depression, sadness, hopelessness, despair, and fatigue. They are often anxious, irritable, weepy, and unable to concentrate, and they can experience sleep and eating imbalances. A mother can greatly minimize the symptoms of PPD by keeping herself and her baby on a good routine, which allows her to get quality rest and proper nutrition. If she finds she is still abnormally melancholy after several weeks, she should pursue the counsel of her obstetrician. The third level of imbalance linked to childbirth is postpartum psychosis. This is by far the most serious emotional state, since it usually causes a break from reality. Symptoms include hallucinations, delusions, suicidal or homicidal thoughts, and disorganized thinking. A mother who has been previously treated with a bipolar disorder is more likely to develop a postpartum psychosis. Moms who suffer from this should see a physician as soon as possible. 1 in every 1,000 women who give birth suffers from this condition. This is no small matter, and the condition should be treated with a sense of urgency. Starting solid foods. Introducing solid foods into a baby's diet does not mean stopping liquid feedings. The calories gained from breast milk or formula are still of prime importance, but now your baby has reached a growth point at which liquid feedings alone are no longer nutritionally sufficient. Babies usually start solid food between 4 to 6 months. Although the AAP leans more towards 6 months, your pediatrician will direct you based on your baby's unique nutritional needs. There are developmental signs to look for before offering solids. Your baby must be able to control his neck and head muscles and sit upright with support. This skill level usually aligns with the baby who can lift his head off a blanket and sustain that position longer than a minute. There are other indicators of readiness. Your baby is probably ready for solids if he shows signs of hunger even though he is receiving 32 ounces of formula a day. The breastfeeding equivalent is showing signs of hunger after 6 to 8 full breastfeedings in a 24-hour period. For the baby who has a well-established nighttime sleep pattern, any abnormal waking at night between weeks 16 to 24 or waking early during well-established naps might also signal that he needs more nutrition. See BabyWise 2 for specific details about adding solids to your baby's diet. Swaddling a baby. Most newborns enjoy the security that comes from being swaddled. This is an age-old practice and something we encourage. Swaddling helps calm and comfort a fussy baby, facilitates sleep with newborns, and minimizes the startle reflex that can often wake up a sleeping baby. Learning how to swaddle a baby is not difficult. Use a regular receiving blanket or a swaddle blanket. We offer a few cautions. Be careful not to swaddle the baby too tightly, since that restricts breathing and circulation, and be careful that the blanket does not cover the baby's face. There will come a time, of course, when your baby no longer enjoys being swaddled, and we'll let you know. Just follow your baby's lead on this. Teething. Teething is when a tooth begins to break through the gum and is part of normal growth. It usually starts between 5 to 7 months. Generally, the lower two teeth come in first, followed by the upper middle two teeth. Teeth tend to erupt sooner in girls than boys, but around 2 years of age, both boys and girls have, or are close to having, all 20 of their baby teeth. Teething should not interfere with breastfeeding, since the sucking reflex used while nursing is done by the tongue and palate, not the gums. Discomfort, irritability, fussiness, increased salivation, and a slightly raised temperature might accompany the eruption of a tooth, but should not produce any change in your baby's feeding routine. Teething might cause a mild disruption with your baby's sleep, but not enough to override a well-established sleep pattern. Your child should see a dentist around the time his first tooth comes into his mouth, but at the very least, make sure your child sees a dentist for a well-baby dental checkup by his first birthday. This is very important because early evaluation and education are the keys to preventing childhood dental diseases. Your dentist can help you determine your child's risk for tooth decay and help you with techniques to clean his teeth effectively and safely. Starting to visit the dentist at an early age helps your child become comfortable in a dental office. Weaning your baby. Weaning, by today's definition, is the process by which parents offer food supplements in place of or in addition to mother's milk. That process begins the moment parents offer a bottle of formula or when their baby first tastes cereal. From that moment on, weaning is a gradual process. As it relates to breastfeeding, there is no set age that weaning is best or preferable. When ready, a breastfeeding mom can start the weaning process by eliminating one feeding at a time, going 3 to 4 days before dropping the next one. That time frame allows mom's body to make the proper adjustments in milk reduction. Usually, the late afternoon feeding is the easiest one to drop since it is a busy time of day. Replace each feeding with 6 to 8 ounces of formula or milk, depending on the child's age. Pediatricians generally recommend babies not receive whole milk, cow's milk, until they are at least 1 year old. While baby may not wean from the breast or bottle for a year, mom must think ahead by introducing the sippy cup around 6 to 7 months of age. BabyWise, too, gives pointers about that. For the formula-fed baby, moms can begin making the transition from the bottle to the sippy cup around 10 to 11 months of age. When you begin to wean from the bottle, start with the noon meal. A few days later, eliminate the morning and late afternoon bottles. The evening bottle will be the last to go. This process takes time, so be prepared and be patient. With additional articles, books, research, and BabyWise mom feedback, we're constantly updating www.babywise.life. to be an ongoing resource for you and your baby. For more helpful tools and tips, sign up for our newsletter. Chapter 10, Multiple Births, The Endless Party, by Eleanor Womack, M.D. A baby is a great blessing, and multiple births represent multiplied blessings to parents. But with twins, triplets, or more, your joy will be accompanied by a great deal of work. This is a matter of simple addition. No, make that multiplication. All parenting requires organization and thinking ahead, but that is especially true with multiple births, because when the unexpected happens, it happens in multiples. People with a single baby make their mistakes one at a time. Parents of triplets tend to make their mistakes in triplicate. On the bright side, when you do things right, you have multiplied success. At our house, we like to think of parenting our triplets as the party that never ends. When our three boys were tiny preemies and needed feeding every 3 hours, we saw feeding times as an opportunity for family fun and fellowship. The feeders would sit together in the same room and discuss their days, tell jokes or stories, or sing songs. Even at 3 a.m., we feeders were encouraged in our toil by our mutual commitment to see this as an opportunity to socialize. From the earliest age, children sense your attitude. If you approach their care as a burden or drudgery, your children will respond in a burdensome way, and you will experience drudgery. Instead, see each day as an adventure, and know that each stage of your children's development is precious. Bringing them home. Multiple birth pregnancies are at high risk for prematurity. Therefore, a major challenge early on is caring for tiny babies in multiple. Your babies may stay in the hospital neonatal intensive care unit, NICU, for a while, They may come home one at a time as they reach safe weights and develop sucking skills. They may come home with apnea and heart monitors in tow. The apnea monitor provides assurance a child is breathing. Cribs. When your babies are very young, they will not be moving around much on their own. It is perfectly acceptable to put two or even three small babies in the same crib. We suggest you separate them when they are mature enough to wiggle around in the crib, preventing any baby from becoming a suffocation risk to another. Diapers. Triplets will use between 24 and 30 diapers a day, so the cost of diapers can become a significant item on the household budget. Weigh your options. For lowest cost up front, you may want to buy cloth diapers and wash them yourself. But when you factor in the need for daily loads of laundry, the cost in terms of time and inconvenience is considerable. Also, cloth has a hidden cost built in because of increased incidence of diaper rash. Babies cannot go as long between diaper changes in cloth as they can in disposable diapers because of the lower absorbency of cloth diapers and higher discomfort level when wet. Parents of multiples find it hard enough to keep track of who has been changed and who is due for a fresh diaper, let alone be aware of who is wet or dirty at an unexpected time. Disposable diapers are helpful because babies do not experience discomfort even when a wet diaper is overlooked. Commercial diaper services are cheaper than disposable diapers, but you will have multiple quantities of wet, smelly diapers waiting for pickup each week. I prefer disposable diapers, but because of cost concerns, I encourage parents to try a diaper service and see if they can keep the babies changed and comfortable. If this service works for you, you may realize significant savings. You need help. As I counsel expectant mothers of multiples, the single worst mistake I see them make is assuming they can handle this challenge on their own. Frequently, their budget is small and hired help is out of the question, so mom and dad set out to accomplish all childcare duties on their own. Do not make this mistake. You cannot do it alone. You don't necessarily have to spend money to get help. There are several alternatives. Extended family members often love to help out, especially if your babies are eating and sleeping on a schedule. Some high schools, colleges, seminaries, and yeshivas near your home may offer classes in childhood development. You could become a learning lab for some kind-hearted students and their teacher. Churches and synagogues are filled with people available to lend a helping hand. You need only ask. If one or more of your children comes home using monitors, you may be a candidate for in-home nursing care, possibly at the state's expense. To find out about this possibility, check with the social worker associated with the neonatal intensive care unit of your hospital or your pediatrician. When people ask if they can help, always say yes, please. Keep a daily planner handy so you can give to all who offer help an exact date and time they can serve you, right there on the spot, and immediately assign them a job. You may want help with baby care, or if your volunteers have limited time, ask them to help with a predictable weekly task, such as the laundry and trips to the grocery store and pharmacy. Delegating is one of the keys to preserving your sanity with multiples. Feeding multiples. Are you going to breastfeed? A mother of multiples often can breastfeed. Whether this is the right choice for you and your babies is up to you and your children to determine. Much will depend on your baby's maturity at birth and whether they require NICU care, whether you had a cesarean section, and how many babies you have. Mothers of twins are more successful at breastfeeding than mothers of triplets. If your babies come right home with you from the hospital, it will be much easier to establish a breastfeeding pattern. As explained in Chapter 4, mother's milk is a complete and perfect food. It is easily digested, provides excellent nutrition, and contains the right balance of proteins and fats. It also provides additional antibodies that help establish your baby's early immune system. If your babies are in the NICU, even if you do not plan to breastfeed them directly, you may want to provide milk for them using an electric breast pump. Many pediatricians recommend this, and insurance companies will often reimburse a mother for the pump rental while the baby is in the NICU. Premature babies especially will benefit from the antibodies in breast milk, but do not feel guilty if providing mother's milk just doesn't work for you and assume your formula-fed babies will grow up sickly. It simply is not true. Each of your babies is different. You may plan to breastfeed all of them, but find that one prefers the bottle to the breast. Some moms successfully breastfeed all their multiples in a rotating fashion, with one baby receiving a bottle each feeding while the others have a turn at the breast. Other mothers produce enough milk to feed all three of their triplets. A good electric pump is very helpful in establishing and maintaining a milk supply for multiples. You may be able to pump after you feed one or two babies so that a third or a fourth baby can receive breast milk in a bottle. Breastfeeding can be magnificently easy once established and learned by mom and babies, but it does not start out easy, especially after the stress of a high-risk pregnancy. Please relax your expectations of yourself and get good counsel from a professional lactation consultant. Breastfeeding multiple babies may not come naturally, and you probably will need guidance. If your newborns have low birth weight and are premature, they will probably sleep almost all the time. You may find they hardly ever wake up, sleeping even when you are changing their diapers, bathing them, and feeding them. Premature babies react to stimulus by withdrawing and sleeping. Do not fight their sleepiness. Do your best to get the food into them, but do not try for more than 30 minutes every 2.5 to 3 hours. From the beginning of one feeding to the beginning of the next, no more than 3 hours should elapse. Attempt to feed and burp each infant for 30 minutes, putting the sleeping baby back to bed for the remaining 2 to 2.5 hours of the cycle. Do this even if the baby was sucking ineffectively and only received a fraction of the usual feeding amount, or when a significant amount of the feeding is spit back up. I recommend that you do not refeed after a baby spits up if the 30-minute limit is up. If the baby spits up 10 minutes or so into the feeding, try refeeding until the time is up. One important aspect of feeding newborn and premature infants is a good assessment of their hydration. Each baby should have between 6 to 8 wet diapers each day. If you're breastfeeding, this will be one clue to help you determine that they are properly latched on and consuming adequate quantities of milk. But with a multiple birth, especially 3 or more babies, keeping track of who has or has not had a wet diaper can become a challenge. In the early sleep-deprived postpartum weeks, you can lose track of even obvious things, so write it all down. Keep your healthy baby growth charts near the changing table and keep them updated. Try color-coding them, assigning a different color to each child. This will make it easier to keep track of each child's progress. As your babies mature, feedings will become easier, and you will probably be able to feed each baby in under 30 minutes. Adhere closely to the feeding, wake time, nap time order for each baby. When one wakes at night to eat, wake them all and feed them. However, when one wakes up early from a nap, resist the temptation to reward the baby with a feeding. Instead, check for a dirty diaper, calm the baby, and lead the child into comforting himself and going back to sleep. Sleep for multiples. Sleep for multiples is crucial to their happiness and your peace of mind. With newborns, especially 2 or more small premature babies, the temptation is to focus on how much they eat, how often they eat, and whether they are gaining weight consistently. My husband and I have applied the PDF principles from birth with our triplets, and we have counseled many parents of multiples to do the same. The true key to eating and weight gain is sleep. If you want your children to eat and to grow, teach them to sleep. A rested baby will eat. An exhausted, agitated, sleep-deprived baby will howl, fuss, suck ineffectively, and spit up repeatedly. You may be afraid your babies will wake up hungry an hour after you put them down if they have not taken a full feeding. I was. The surprise is that they tend to wake up just in time for the next scheduled feeding, better rested and ready to take in a full meal. Overall, the newborn babies whose parents focus on sleep rather than calories will get more nutrition because they will be better rested, have better digestion, and be ready to suck strongly. As your multiples mature, they will develop definite wake times and sleep times. When they are newborn or premature, they will almost always fall asleep while you are feeding them, or maybe they will not even wake up for the feeding. As they get older, they will still get drowsy with feedings, but with a little stimulation, you can have them fully awake and ready to play after a meal. Wake time activities with multiples should always include some independent playtime. When the appointed time for the nap arrives, the babies may indicate readiness by being fussy and non-distractible, or they may be wide awake and cheery. Put them down awake. Logistically, you cannot rock 2, 3, or more babies to sleep at each nap time. Your babies need to learn to comfort themselves. In fact, all babies need to learn patience and how to calm themselves as vital life skills. That mom and dad each have only one lap and one set of arms presents unavoidable limits. Self-comforting is particularly important when babies are sick or under stress. If they have learned the skill of sleep early on in life, they will seek sleep when they feel tired instead of further stressing themselves with crying and fussing. If your multiple babies have been sharing a room since birth, they will not wake each other up. They will learn to shut out each other's crying, so do not separate them when one is fussing. When little ones are having a particularly hard cry, you can go in every 10 minutes to pat them, reassure them, and possibly check for a wet or soiled diaper. You will function as a guide, teaching them how to self-comfort. Go in long enough to help them stop crying, but not so long that they fall asleep. Your goal is to put them down awake, allowing them to fall asleep on their own, without a transition process such as rocking or patting. This is more challenging than it sounds because of the sheer physical effort required to care for multiples. You need to start and finish each feed-wake-sleep cycle in a fairly structured fashion. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to pick up three babies, diaper them, and put them in their cribs for a nap. One common pitfall for parents is to allow their baby